What's love got to do with it? What's love but a secondhand emotion? Now, I was kind of wondering about if I would start this way because I figured about half of the people in here would actually know what that reference is. If you're 40s or 50s maybe, or you know a little bit of Tina Turner. But just, yeah, I wasn't going to sing it, but that's all right. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that. But for those who are a little younger, how about a little Ariana Grande? All we need is love. Love is all we need. Let your heart believe that love is everything. Or not to leave out country music, if you consider her country music, Leanne Rimes. Yeah, love is love is love is love is love is love. What does that mean? And quite honestly, these are three examples from music and lyrics that talk about what love is, or some type of an attempt at defining it or explaining how important it is. And yet it misses the mark, right? There's not really a definition. And we see people, we ourselves and others around us, who are grasping to define what love is and to understand it, to experience it. How many movies, I mean, it's the whole Hallmark Channel, right, that talk about this, that are trying to define it, or movies that talk about true love. Love. Yes, maybe there's a few quotes from Princess Bride in there that are coming. Well, regardless, what we are going to look at today is a passage from God's Word where He defines love for us. And as we, on this first Sunday of Advent, look at this idea of love, it's really imperative for us to see how God defines it, not the culture around us, because God is the one who created it and actually is love. So if we, who are struggling to understand it and experience it, if we want to understand it, we need to look at what God has said and who God is to define this. So the passage today comes out of 1 John chapter 4. And you may recall, we have gone through the books of John and his epistles over the last couple of years. Actually, probably a couple of years ago, I was able to preach the passage that preceded this one. But we're going to look at how God defines love for us, because it's again, imperative that we look at His Word to define it, not try to define it ourselves based on our own experience or based on what other people have tell us about what love is. So if you would, let's stand as we read God's Word. Our passage is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let's pray. God, we thank you for declaring to us what love is, but not just that, declaring to us who you are, that we can know you, that we can experience a relationship with you. And I pray that even as we look at this passage today, that you would use it to transform our hearts, help us to understand anew what it is that we anticipate in this Advent through the love that you have declared that you have sent to us through your Son. I pray that you would encourage each of us who are here, that we would understand better who you are, and that we would see the vital nature of a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So this is a pretty short passage. You know, it's only really four verses. And in the original text that John wrote, it kind of encapsulates this one section here. Actually, in the original text, it's set apart from the rest of the letter, almost as if it was written in poetic style. So this is really a kind of a focused passage for us to take a look at today. And as you know, John is writing about this idea of love throughout this letter. This kind of comes and is the focus, almost a centerpiece of the letter that he has written to those he is trying to serve. John served as a pastor, and much of what he wrote was distributed to churches in the area. I mean, he was most famously pastor of Ephesus, or at Ephesus. But also, there's just he is considered kind of the elder. That's what he calls himself, and so in many ways he sees himself as the father of many of these churches, and is supporting them. So he's writing this to believers to encourage them in their relationship with one another and in their relationship with God. And he begins by calling them beloved. Now, the interesting thing is that word in and of itself means those who love, right? Or who are loved. So even in the address to his the readers, he is describing them as those who are loved and those whom he loves. So he says, "Beloved, let us love one another." Now, this is not just a phrase just to say, okay, love one another, and that's it. We see that throughout Scripture in various different places. We see a lot of different references to one another and what the church was called to do. We see that a lot in Paul's writings, and again here in John, where he says we should love one another, and it becomes a command for us, right? Let us love one another. And then he, not just to make that statement, but to give us the rationale for why. The next phrase, for love is from God. Now, again, we see in our world today that love is being defined in specific ways, but for us as believers in Jesus, the reason we love one another is because love comes from God. He is the one who defines it, he's the one who initiates it, and therefore it drives our actions. Love is from God. And then he makes this statement that is really nice, right? Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. What does that mean? Right? Well, this kind of harkens back to what we see in John's original epistle, where he or his gospel, where Jesus is talking with Nicodemus, and he has this conversation with the teacher of Israel about being born again. That it's something that God does that is spiritual transformation, that there is a spiritual rebirth that results in a new relationship. It's not physical, because we've already been born. We're all here living. But it's being reborn by the Spirit. So as John says in this passage, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So how does this define love for us? If it's true that love, whoever loves, truly loves, has been born of God and knows God, that means that what we just experience in the world is not necessarily love, right? It's love that is defined by a relationship with God. So those of us who have been reborn, who have a relationship through Jesus, can know love that is God's love, what he intended. John continues, and the prior statement was nice. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God, but verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God. Now we have a negative example. So love, true love, is based on knowing God. And this idea of knowing that John uses in both verse 7 and verse 8 is this idea of not just a mental understanding, but knowing because of a relationship and because you experience life with the other. So we now see that there is this, he's redefining love for what we see in the world around us, that it's not just this nice feeling, it's not just caring for other people, but God himself is defining it for us, that it is based first and foremost on a relationship that we have with him. Now, for most people, what John was writing, this was new, right? This was transformational, because even when we see, if we look back into the Gospels and we see Jesus talking about God and who he is, the religious leaders were shocked when he described himself having a relationship with the Father. This was not something that they talked about. It wasn't personal. It was God was to be worshiped, and he was wholly different than we are. But it wasn't a personal type of relationship. So what John is describing here is transformational, and was transformational that Christianity brought into an understanding for us, that we didn't have a relationship with God. It was only because of what Jesus has done that he enables us to do that. So knowing God is transformational for us, that teaches us what love is. And John continues in verse 8. He says, anyone who does not know love does not know God, because what? God is love. Now, if ever there was a formula that we see in Scripture, this is it. That God is love. He himself, by his own character, defines what love is. So we have all these people who are struggling to understand what love is or to experience it. The only way for us to truly understand what love is to know God, because He Himself is, by definition, love. Now, a little bit of theology here, okay? Because, and I appreciate, even as we were at the annual NAB conference, and one of the pastors, Nick from Timberline, he preached on this passage and really defined something that I hadn't thought about in the way that he described it, which is, if we were to understand who God is Trinity, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. By themselves, they are love. Right? And how is that to be? How can that be? How can they define love? Well, the Godhead perfectly exists apart from creation, any other beings, as love, because they perfectly love one another within the Trinity. Now, when you look at any other example of this, any other religion that defines it, no other religion can claim that, right? And no other religion can claim that apart from creation. Because how in the world do you demonstrate it unless you give of yourself to something, someone else? But by definition, the Godhead loves themselves, right? Perfectly, apart from who we are as human beings. And yet, because of that love and because of His desire to manifest His glory, He created all of us and everything that we see. So God's love is active. And by virtue of this, we understand that anything that we want to understand about love necessitates action. There is no love if there is no action. Right? This is the means by which we further understand, because the Apostle John, as he describes it, now gives us a couple more verses to describe what this love is and what God, as the source of true love, has done. First of all, He created us. But as we see in the very last verse, we sinned. So, what is God, who is love, what does He do about it? That's the most important thing for us to understand today. So, verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. And he's going to define in the next phrase what this is. Okay? This is the way that God manifested His love, that God sent His only Son into the world. Why is this a passage that we pick in Advent? Because we understand this is exactly what God has done. He has sent His Son to the world, and by doing so, He demonstrated His love for us. Because God is God, this was inevitable. It had to happen that He would send His Son to us. The word that is used here for being sent is the same word as essentially apostle, a sent one. So He was sending His Son to us. And the description that follows in verse 9 explains the purpose behind why Jesus was sent. And now, at this time of year, we're celebrating Christmas. We celebrate the baby Jesus coming, right? But it's not the incarnation at Christmas time that is in view here. What we see here in the sending of his son is actually Easter. So for us as Christians, Christmas and Easter are inextricably linked together. You cannot have one without the other. Well, John says, God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. The purpose for Jesus was not to just declare who God is, but he came to give us life. Remember we sang the first song about living water, the water that he gives to us that quenches a thirsty soul. That's why Jesus came. And in verse 10, John continues and he describes this. He says, in this is love. He further describes it. Not that we have loved God, it's not initiated by us, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Again, the focus here is not on Christmas, it's on Easter, right? He sent Jesus to die for us. That word propitiation is really only used in the New Testament twice, and they actually both happen in this book. John is the only one who really uses that phrase, but it harkens back to the Old Testament and the idea of the atonement, that there was a sacrifice made to atone for sins, that Jesus came in order to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. I love the way that one commentator phrased this. He said, our act was to sin, God's was to love and send. That it wasn't us that initiated love. It was God himself who did so. And because of what he has done through his son, has redefined love for us, right? This is just incredible. That if we are looking for what love is, we need to look no further than our Savior and what he has done on our behalf. Now, coming back to this theologically, God, only a Trinitarian God, could be defined as love. We see gods in other religions that in order to love, they have to demonstrate that to somebody else, right? Apart from them, they cannot be defined as love because God himself loves apart from his creation perfectly. That Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally coexistent, loving one another, and are by definition love themselves. That everything that God does is love. That's sometimes hard for us to imagine. But we see throughout Scripture, as God has defined himself, we see his actions towards his people are always loving. Now, as you read through the Old Testament, you may come across passages where we see God's judgment that is being meted out on his people and on others. I would offer to you that even that is love. Because love for us oftentimes has been inadequately defined as being something that we do that's nice for someone else. In reality, love ultimately is the full measure of both God's mercy and his justice towards us. That God's love could not be fully demonstrated unless we see the example of Jesus, where God's mercy, where he gave himself up for us, and his justice, where he took on all of the penalty of our sin, was fully realized in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That for us, love includes what we sometimes refer to as tough love, right? And really, based on this passage, I think we have to redefine love and how we experience it and show it to one another. That true love is always active. True love is not just giving people what they want. Sometimes it means bringing or holding people accountable, because that's in their best interest in the long run. And we see that manifest throughout many of the passages throughout Scripture, where love is defined by both of those actions, by both mercy and justice. And that's what we see here in this. Again, let me reread this in verse 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world. He sent his only, one and only Son, and we see, even in this passage, the all three members of the Trinity involved, because the Son was sent by the Father through the Holy Spirit. All three are demonstrating love towards you and me, towards all of humanity in this act. Verse 10, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Again, our role is to respond to what God has already done. So, those of you who are here today, this is a very clear call that Jesus died on your behalf for your sins and my sins, that he died and was raised from the dead to demonstrate that his death was sufficient to pay for that sin. That if you are here today and you are desiring to experience true love, look no further than the Son of God. What he has done for you, and he is calling you into relationship with him. He wants you to experience true love, just like he does within the Trinity. Because of who he is, he wants to give that to us. Now, what does this mean for you and for me as we see to experience this and declare this to one another? Because even as John starts, he says, let us love one another. And then he defines it, right? But what does it mean to love one another? Well, a huge part of that is we see the example of Jesus. What we see in the Advent is God sending, God making a specific plan to send his Son to accomplish a specific task, to die on your behalf so that we could have a relationship with God. And those of us who follow Jesus, we are called on to follow his example as well, where Jesus was sent to declare this love, and you and I, as followers of him, are sent also to declare this love. So even as we started and we see all these different ways that love is defined in music and in popular culture, we have the answer. We have the example of Jesus Christ, who has given his own life for you and for me so that we can have a relationship with him. And as recipients of that love, as active participants in relationship with him, we have the privilege to invite other people into that same relationship. So like Jesus was sent as an apostle, we essentially are apostles of Jesus. We are sent out to declare that love to others around us who themselves desire to truly know love. It's part of who we are because we're made in God's image. We're made to be like him, but it's tainted by sin. This is one of the reasons we have so many people in our culture today that speak about it and seek love in different ways. If it's not the way that God has designed it, it will never be truly fulfilling. So we, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, have the opportunity to go and declare and show what this love is. Again, love is never passive. It demands action. If you say you love someone and do nothing about it, you're lying. It's that simple. If you say you love someone, it demands that you demonstrate that. And it looks like giving of yourselves. You hear when we talk about the words for love that are used throughout the New Testament, the term that is often used, agape love, that you've heard before, I'm sure, which typically contains this idea of sacrifice, that we are giving of ourselves for the other people. And in this passage in particular, we see that defined and redefined for us as members of humanity, that God has demonstrated to us what this looks like by giving of himself. He gave his one and only son for you and for me so that we could have a relationship. One of the most amazing ways for us to love others is to declare this same Jesus to them so they too can experience this love that we experience. So as we look at this Advent season, as you think about time you may have spent with friends and family, even in Thanksgiving, as you think about opportunities that you will have to interact with coworkers, I would encourage each of us to ask the question, how can we love them? How can we demonstrate that love to them? At the very least, it involves allowing them to see who Jesus is, maybe declaring who Jesus is to them so that they can experience this. It means engaging and sacrificing on their behalf. And as we serve one another within this body, we demonstrate the same love that God has for himself within the Trinity, that he empowers us through his Spirit to do this very thing that we cannot do on our own. Again, like this, God is the one who initiates love on our behalf. And even if we try to love one another in our own strength, it's not going to work. It fails. It necessitates the Holy Spirit working in us and through us to bring love to others. And he empowers us to do that. We celebrate this on a weekly basis when we do communion together, when we participate. And we each week have a very tangible symbol of the love of God, right? We see that demonstrated for us because we take the bread and the cup, which represents Jesus giving his body for us and spilling his blood for us, that he atoned. He was the propitiation. This is a visible demonstration of what propitiation means, that he gave his body and blood for us. So for those of you who are here today, if you are visiting and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we would invite you to participate with us as we collectively demonstrate to one another what true love is, that we come and take of the body and the blood, the bread and the cup, as representative of who he is and what he gave for us. So what we do, if you are a visitor for us, is we will begin with a song. The worship team, if you'd come, and invite everyone forward to participate and take of the bread and the cup, and then return to your seats, and we will take it together, and Chris will lead us in communion. So if you would, pray with me. Father, we are grateful for the love that you have demonstrated to us, love that exudes from who you are, that it was necessary for you to send your Son to earth to live and to die on our behalf, that he might be the propitiation for our sins. Father, we worship you. We worship you, Jesus and Holy Spirit, for your role in declaring love to each of us. And may we, as members of your church, declare this love to one another and declare this love to a world in desperate need of what true love is. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.